Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hello, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. Today we have on our show Yvonne Talley, who wrote this book that totally rocked my world this time. It's called Breaking Up with Busy, Real Life Solutions for the Overscheduled Woman. And I know, Yvonne, that you wrote this book for me. I'm the poster child for this book. So thank you.
It was my pleasure, Lisa.
I think you probably also wrote it for yourself too, right? Tell us a little bit about how you came to be writing a book about being overly busy.
Yes. Well, you know, I think that I always say this, that I think most women feel overly busy, and I refer to that as the overscheduled woman. And I think most of us are definitely that at least one time in our life, probably more. And I was definitely one of those women. I was so busy teaching others how to live a vibrant and healthy lifestyle, growing my business, raising my daughter, single mom, that I missed my own signs of busy and overscheduled. You know, that fast pace, the sleepless nights. I was going into work, you know, priding myself on my 5 hours of sleep at night, my napping, I would call it. And the cram schedules and all of that landed me in the hospital emergency room thinking I was having a heart attack when in fact I was having a panic attack. And I thought, and it scared me so much and enough for me to make a huge lifestyle shift, because I thought, if this is happening to me, you know, I'm an organic eating, exercising, meditating, mindful, positive thinking person. If I allowed this to come into my life and missed my own signals, I thought there's got to be more to this story. And I'm sure that so many other women, people were feeling the same way. And at that time I was great portion of my business was women. And I was starting to get this story, this same story over and over and over, that there just wasn't any time. They felt like they were falling short. They were trying to take care of everybody. And we're all out trying to create what I call having it all. And we were all feeling as though we were falling short. And I kind of, you know, I had to investigate this and research it further, because I thought, it's just a pocket where I live. And in fact, no, it is this busy culture that is affecting all of us, especially women.
Yeah, really, it seems like an epidemic. And I fall prey to this myself too, that there's sort of a bit of pride, right? I'm like, I'm so busy, you know, like is it a status thing? Is it like how we're feeling that we're successful to be that jam packed?
Yeah, and there's some real valid concrete reasons in how this all came to be. And it's a very layered process that has occurred as far as this busy culture, and there's definitely a status attached to it. You know, going back 30 years, there was the leisure class, and now leisure is seen as the new lazy. If you're not doing anything, then you must not be important. And that idea of busy, that gives us that sense of importance. You know, if you're busy, Lisa, and I'm busy, and we're hanging around in the same group and the same circle, then we want to fit in with one another and the other people within that group. So if you're busy, I'm busy, everybody else will end up getting into that same similar pace. And this is part of the reason that this gets started. A lot of this has to do with economics. You know, as incomes grow and rise, time is seen as more valuable. So we try to pack in as much as we possibly can, because we don't want to waste it. We don't want to squander it away. And that starts that pace. And once we get used to a pace, then anything outside of that normal pace feels uncomfortable and unfamiliar. And we as human beings will always move towards what's familiar until we have that moment or that time in our life where awareness comes in and we make those changes. And if you've had a health scare like I had, or as many other people that I've met along the way have had, you know, you can make one of two choices. You can keep going and doing the same thing and put yourself into a position of having that happen again, because it will, or you can make a change. You can make a shift and start moving in the direction that you really want to go. And that is the biggest part of this book, is helping people, showing them and teaching them that they have the power within to begin moving their life in the direction that they desire rather than continuing to do the same things that are creating the discord and the uncertainty in their life.
Yeah, I love your book. Is very positive and empowering. And, you know, one of the things that I think is hard about, you know, the coaching community is that oftentimes they'll try to fix this problem by having you do more stuff. But how I get in this trap of like feeling that if I can perfectly figure out actually how to do all this stuff, somehow it will be okay. It usually just adds more stuff to my plate. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I think that's a really important point that you make, because I was having a conversation the other day with somebody and I was referring to the fact that I had heard in a conversation that Gandhi, when his day was very busy, he meditated twice as long. Mm-hmm. So in other words, we have to create space and slow down to be able to do what it is that we want to do. And it's not about adding things. It's about reorganizing what we have and then setting our priorities accordingly. And when we're busy, it's very difficult for us to kind of function with a clear mind. And there's a big difference between being busy and being productive. Being productive, we set priorities and we will say no to things. When we're busy, we say yes to most things and we just keep going with the flow. Because that's what everybody says that we should do now, go with the flow. Well, often what happens is we just keep piling things on. So it's not, and that was really important, you know, when you write a book about busy and you've got a bunch of solutions and practices, there has to be a way for that to come into your life. So the important thing here is, Lisa, is one shift at a time, not even a change. How about just a shift? And how about just a shift for the morning or even within the next hour? Things that we can start with, because this is a practice. This is not about exercises and doing other things and changing this and taking this off and putting this on. This is about a practice. So we want to get really familiar, comfortable, and aware of what it is that we want. Because often we focus our time on what we don't want. I don't want to be busy. I don't want to be overscheduled. I don't want to be doing this for that person or going here and doing that. Well, what do you want? And once we start to shift that focus on what we want to create, then we are going to have far more energy to actually do that and more focus.
Now, I know your book is really, really geared towards women. And I really think there's sort of this unique way that women do this over busy thing. And it's not that men aren't busy, but do you think it's different? I mean, do men compartmentalize different, or is this particular way? Is there particular busyness that's for women?
It is different for women than it is for men. And men are busy too. They're just not as busy. And again, when we go back to the economics of it, when we look at just the pay alone, you know, that familiar tone now that we know what it is. It's 80 cents on the dollar, women to men. And if you're a woman of color, that drops down to about 63 cents. And 80% of what's called non-paid work is done by women. And that is all of the mechanics that it takes to run our life. We spend about 14 hours a day in this one section. That's the appointments, that's getting people here and there, all the things outside of our work. And when you put those different statistics in there, you can see how we have to not only work longer, but we also have the child and the family care on top of it. You know, we're doing 80% of that. And that's a big, big chunk. And men, by standards, are about 15% less busy. And what I think, this is not about men and women being separated. It's about understanding what we both face. And I think we can take a page from men's playbooks. And that is, and I often tell this story, in the 20 plus years I've been working with clients, I have never had a male client say to me, "I feel so guilty about going to the golf course this weekend for 4 hours." They just don't. They have a real set of mind that this is what they're going to do. They deserve it. And they're creating time and space for that. And I think we can really learn from that, because one of the things we carry with us that I just simply do not hear from men is this guilt. I feel guilty if I don't do X, Y, and Z. And what I want to really bring up here is that guilt is not going to help us in any way. We have got to give ourselves permission to be able to bring self-care into our lives. It's extremely important to sustain a well life. And when we don't make space and time for ourselves, we are teaching the other people in our life that we influence, our kids, anyone that we're mentoring, whomever that might be, we're teaching them how to do the exact same thing. And that is, don't set boundaries and don't care for yourself. And that will not be able to sustain a well lifestyle. We have to be able to have time to self-nurture.
You know, what's so heartbreaking to me about this topic really is that my 19-year-old daughter, who just finished her freshman year at university, had the same kind of panic attack that you did. She was in the emergency room with a panic attack, didn't know what it was. And it was for exactly the same reason, all the stress, all the worry, all the busy. And I'm like, wow, she's 19, mm-hmm. you know, and how heartbreaking that is for even very young women to be experiencing that level of stress and busy.
This is not an unusual story that you tell about your daughter. I have a 25-year-old, and this is a conversation that we've had often. And millennials get a bad rap as being, you know, self-absorbed and not interested and lazy. Well, a lot of people are. And the thing I have to give them credit for is I think they work just as hard as we did when we were at that age, probably more so, and they have a lot of more influences coming in. And that is the comparison game. And that comes from technology. You know, we spend an average of 5 hours a day on our phone. And if you're a millennial, you are touching that phone, picking it up, moving it 150 times a day. It's probably even higher than that. So just touching, texting, and everything is around 3,000 times a day. So they are continually comparing themselves with what is going on. And we know social media has all of the filters and all of the things on there to make it look like a glamorous life, but yet we still buy into it. And this is something our millennials, our young women, have come up with this from day one. You see children in strollers holding on to, you know, to a phone, looking at something on the phone.
Yeah.
So this is something that they're really affected by. But what they've done for us, Lisa, is they brought this anxiousness up to the forefront and they talk about it. My generation, we didn't talk about it. Everything was fine. Everything's perfect. So
yeah.
Once we talk about it, we bring things up and our awareness starts to expand. Then we can start to come up with solutions for it.
I love that. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think our generation, you and I are from the same generation. We definitely have a suck it up, carry on, you know, slap a happy face like, yeah, I can do that. I got this superwoman, supermom kind of, you know, attitude about this. And it was occurring to me when I was reading your book about how programmed I was into that. To believe we have to serve, we can't say no. You know, we're not a good person, we're not a good woman, if we're not constantly in the state of service. And the programming, I love how you use neuro-linguistic programming to unprogram. Can you talk a little bit about that? It's such a powerful tool.
Yeah, it really is. Well, neuro-linguistic, which is neuro-linguistic programming, which is NLP, it uses a variety of techniques, and it's really about improving communication and personal growth. So it's a great tool. And that programming that you're talking about, we as women, and this is a broad brush I'm painting with right now, you know, we get some really early programming, and it sounds kind of like this: be nice, smile, get along, don't make waves. So, and on top of that, we're also seen as the nurturer. I have no problem with that. I love being a nurturer. I think it's a beautiful quality that we can share. The thing that we need to remember is that we can both be soft and strong, and we can be gentle and assertive. We can be both of those things, all of those things. And we don't have to say yes to everything to be liked. And you know what else? It's okay if some people don't like us. And this is a vein that runs through for many, many women, especially the overscheduled woman, even the alpha, although she has a tendency to have better boundaries around her yeses. But this idea that we have to say yes and go along with everything is absolutely, you can't sustain that for one thing. And it is okay to say no. It is a complete sentence just by itself. And I'm not talking about no by being unhelpful or not being of service or being that one person in the office that doesn't pitch in. I'm talking about no as far as setting boundaries, because boundaries are designed to create space for you, not to keep people out, but to create space for you so that you have the time and the presence and the awareness to make choices that, again, fit in with what your big picture is and what it is that you want. And about the want, that's a very important thing, because we need to also establish what do we need to get to that want.
I've always felt for me that the no that's the boundary kind of arises out of self-esteem. It arises out of like really caring for myself. And it's even though it sounds selfish to say this, it's like in this moment, I'm putting myself and my needs and my desire want before somebody else. And that's okay. That's
it's imperative. It's essential.
Yeah. It's essential. So hard to think it's okay. We're so taught to think that's so selfish, and yet we have to have that self-esteem, that feeling of okayness, that in this moment my needs are more important than whoever's asking me.
Yes, and I think that's where we get ourselves into a bind as an overscheduled woman. That's how we end up. One of the things that we do is we say yes to those around us that we love and care for. And that, when you do that enough over a period of time, that's going to build up into not only frustration and anxiety, possibly, it's going to build up into resentment. And once we get to that point of resentment, then we start to get irritated and angry about things that we're not even aware of, that normally wouldn't even bother us. So yeah, pulling back from that, that's why I really promote meditation so much as far as a tool to be able to create that space and really get conscious about what it is that you want. And that's something that's a practice that any of us can adopt. And remember, what we practice grows strong. So if we practice being busy, we practice doing things for everybody all the time, we practice putting ourselves last, we get really good at it. And then that becomes familiar and that becomes our normal.
And what are some of the practices that you are, sharing in your book about how we can get off the busy wagon?
Well, there's definitely the practical solutions, and then there's the reset your mindset. And I think both of them are powerfully important. I think the first thing that we have to do is get it right between the ears, because everything that we do is preceded by our thoughts. Our thoughts produce our words, and our words produce our actions. So we have to be very aware of what is the language you're using to ourselves. What are the messages that we're even giving to ourselves throughout the day? Oh, you can't do this. Oh, you may as well just give up. Whatever it might be, we repeat that enough, we begin to believe that. And when we believe that, then we start to make unconscious and even conscious choices to fit into that story. That's a bit of the NLP there. So we got to change the story. And so some of the practices are, since we're talking about boundaries, are setting those healthy boundaries, doing what I call flagging your feelings. You know, if you're so busy, you're not going to be paying attention to what you're feeling. I'm a perfect example of that. You know, if you are so busy, you're going to be so connected to the doing that you're going to forget about the feelings. And I'll assure you, if you slow down just enough and you begin to flag your feelings and use that as a beginning step to setting better boundaries. You know, a yellow flag means you got to pause and evaluate. A red flag means stop and communicate. And then there's some things that you can do with that, as far as communicating with yourself first and then others, that will help you set those boundaries. That would be an example of one of the practical solutions that we have. And then, of course, resetting your mindset, talking about beliefs. The power of beliefs is absolutely essential for us to get in touch with. What beliefs are working for us? Which ones are we continuing to use that don't work for us, but we're using them and we're applying them in our decisions just because they're familiar? So there's an exercise in the book about how to, a few questions, three or four questions, to unwrap that, because you'd be surprised how much we're doing based upon a belief system that is really outdated.
Yeah, it is very outdated. And I love what you were saying about sort of the mindset, you know, so working on the mindset. And I always learned, I know a little bit of NLP back in the day, I studied it, and I always found it a very powerful way to change how your thought patterns by changing your wording, by changing how the words that you're using. And so we might do affirmations. I have this when I'm sort of like, I'm worthy of taking time and space for myself, you know, that might put me into I have to actually be away from the person who physically remove myself from the person that's asking, because I'm so empathic, I'm so sensitive to other people's needs that in the moment I always say yes. And I've learned, I have to say, let me get back to you tomorrow. I never say yes in the moment anymore. And I have to be like alone in my office with my calendar and really think about it and go, do I want to do this? Do I have time? Is it part of my path or my journey? And that has been really a powerful way that I've, you know, learned how to set it. And then I sometimes have to go back and say, okay, I'm actually not going to feel guilty about this. It's okay that I just did that.
Right. So a couple things. When you talk about words, which I love, and your apps, I couldn't agree with you more, Lisa, about words. So, you know, when you say I have to take time for myself, changing that word take to make, and changing that word to have, from have to I will, change the whole delivery and also what your mind is going to perceive. And when we are sensitive and we are empathetic towards others and we want to be in care and service for others, remember, the first other, if you will, is yourself. And that is absolutely essential, that is a vibrant, well-nourished source of energy. Because that whole thing, you know, I'll never forget Gloria Steinem saying, you can't have it all if you have to do it all. And that is where we've got, you know, that's where we put ourselves. We are in a place where we are still, we're still working towards equal pay. We're in the career world. We've mastered the home life. But the third piece that we forgot about was that self-care. So it's an imbalance between obligation and expectation and the lack of self-care that gets us into this situation. And then when we start to repeat those messages and those beliefs that might not even be working, it's the difference between should and could. I should break up with busy. I should slow down, as opposed to I could break up with busy. I could slow down. So these messages are key, just changing a couple of words and then putting it into a simple mantra, a six-word mantra, and keep repeating that, which is what you're doing when you're in the office. Keep repeating that, and then that will begin to resonate with you, become your reality, and you'll begin to think, you'll begin to speak, and you'll begin to act upon that.
I love that. And I love the, and it's so funny, like, you know, I didn't even catch myself. Like, I think about this a lot, and I didn't even catch those thoughts until you pointed it out. And I like could, because it sort of like implies a choice.
Yes.
Should is just like, you've got to. And could is like, well, there's a choice there.
There's options.
Yeah.
For the should, and talk about the shoulds. I always say that's how we get ourselves into the traps that, you know, the being all and the saying yes and the keeping up. And that's really built on the shoulds, because that goes back to that comparison game that is just slapping us everywhere continuously, really brought forward through technology. So, you know, we've got a lot of different distractions that are going on. So for our own health and wellness, just creating some space and time each day, 1 to 3 minutes to meditate. And, you know, even if you think you can't meditate, just remember this: meditation is not something we do. It's a way of being. So that when life gets chaotic and gets confusing, you have developed a practice from within yourself that you can take a deep breath and you can clear your mind and you can come up with more choices than perhaps you couldn't be if you just got spinning in that chaos and that distraction.
Yeah, I've been a lifelong meditator. My parents were hippies and took me to transcendental meditation when I was 10. And God bless them, you know. I'm so grateful. And I've really been meditating ever since. And I love that you have really actually a very spiritual quality to the work that you're doing. Can you talk about why spirituality is important to this topic?
Yes. Well, I think, you know, we could look at it from a very practical manner, that spirituality. When we have a system of belief that there's something beyond ourselves, we will always feel connected. We will always feel as though there's source around us. You can call it anything that you'd like, but the experience of knowing that something is beyond us and that we're connected, it's a great powerful tool that we can pull from. Now, that's one way to look at it. The other way is that for me, this is all part of what I am here in this place of earth. And I'm connected with each person. And it is not only my opportunity, but my duty, if you will, to be here in the best place and space and the mind that I possibly can. Because these are all gifts. These are all gifts from source. So connecting with my inner voice and my intuition, and you can't do that when it's noisy. You have to honor that part of you. And it's a powerful tool I have found for gaining clarity and igniting my inspiration and my imagination. You know, imagination, Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge. So imagination precedes that, really. It's the ability to be able to imagine what it is that you actually want rather than imagining what is going to happen. So just connecting with spirituality allows that opportunity to expand inspiration, imagination, relieve tension, because we know what happens to us when we're in quiet meditation. We lower our blood pressure, we lower our heart rate, we reduce the cortisol that's brought on by stress. So all of these things happen when we're in meditation. And if you put spirituality with that, it is a huge energetic boost. If you can faith in something beyond yourself and open your mind and your heart to living a life with more kindness, more compassion, and certainly more empathy.
You know, I noticed, like, probably like you, you know, you're the same way, that I feel very pulled into my life purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, like part of my busyness is that I'm like in love with my own life purpose. I'm a writer too, and you know, I have a private practice. I see clients. I work in a energy medicine school training healers, and I'm like, I feel like when I'm in the flow of that soul, the spirituality, even though it's a lot of work, it's very life giving. The work itself is life giving, and then I fall off that, and I go more into the ego, the mind, the shoulds, and the trap of, you know, the image, you know, and that's where I become exhausted and just feel like stuck in the busy. Does that make sense to you?
It does. And we can't forget that we are, you know, everybody says, you hear this often, that we're a spirit having a human experience. And we are human beings, and we are going to drop into our ego, and we are going to compare. And the key is this, I believe, that when you have a spiritual practice and you have that deep, deep core sense of being connected with, you know, within your soul and within your spirit, that then you can bring yourself back to that center. You know, you can bring yourself back into the place where you feel, quote, in the flow. Mm-hmm. And remember, it's not how much we do, because we cannot forget that first other that we talked about earlier, and that is self. It's about, and we all know this, it's about the quality of what we do. It's about the experience. It's about the exchange. And it's about the give and the take. So when we are able to create space on a regular basis for our spiritual connection, I believe that that energizes us even further. And it also taps us on the shoulder and says, hey, you know, you need to take a break here, or, you know, go in this direction. And when we can listen to that, and I believe that that is what happens in deep spiritual meditation, when we listen to that, then we can consciously make that adjustment without ending up in a hospital, you know, having a panic attack or tripping and falling, which I've done that as well when my life is so busy and I've always, the way the universe says, slow down. And so it's just being mindful of that and creating that time and space for your practice to connect with your spiritual self consciously.
That's beautiful. I love that. And I think you're absolutely right. Like when we're really spending the time in mindfulness and in meditation, I think our soul does say it's okay to stop and take a break and be and nourish ourselves, you know, in all the ways that we can, that you talk about in your book.
Yeah, I mean, just being in nature, I always talk about that nature needs us as much as we need nature. Think about what happens to your physical body when you're in nature. You know, often we'll go out and take a deep breath, and that stimulates the vagus nerve, which triggers the nervous system. And right there, here we go. We're going to lower the blood pressure, reduce bring our heart rate down and reduce that cortisol just with a deep breath. That's something that all of us can do. And then think about your senses. And that's why I do have concern about this disconnection from nature, because when we disconnect from something, we lose focus and it becomes less important. And we know now with our planet, we need to really care and nurture and love our planet as much as we love the the people that we share it with. So when you're in nature, you stimulate all of those senses, the sound, you know, the sound, the smell, the fragrance, the touch, the feel, all of that gets stimulated. So it's important for us to connect with that. And that also brings that awareness in that we are all connected. I think it's Deepak Chopra that says, you know, a flower is just a flower here on earth pretending to be a flower. It's so much more than that. It's the soil, it's the seed, it's the water, it's the wind. And we are the same. We are the same. So we are all connected in that, and we need to care for that on a regular basis, daily basis. That's my practice.
Oh, Yvonne, thank you so much. Your stuff is so beautiful, and I just want to thank you again for writing this book and give people an opportunity to find you. Like, how can they get your book and find you?
Yes, they can buy my book anywhere at this point, in bookstores and online as well, Amazon.com, of course. And then my website is Yvonne Talley, Yvonne Talley, Talley.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really am so grateful to read your book and that you are here, that you wrote it and that you were here with me today. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Lisa. Thank you.
And thank all of you guys for joining us here today on The Miracle of Healing, where we are healing the planet one person at a time on Empower Radio.